Penance of the Heart, a Franciscan Perspective. I remember when I first encountered the concept of penance in the Franciscan tradition. Like many terms we hear in spiritual circles, I initially thought of outward actions, fasting, abstaining, physical disciplines. But as I've reflected on it over the years, I've come to see that the Franciscan penance idea touches something much more deeply in our human experience, something that perhaps has always been there, waiting for us to recognize it. Many of us have spent years walking our spiritual paths, navigating the currents of faith, weathering doubts, adapting to life's transformations. We've seen spiritual practices rise and fall in popularity. We've experienced moments of profound connection and periods of seeming absence. But today, I'd like us to consider something that isn't merely a spiritual technique or a temporary practice. It's a timeless approach to spiritual transformation that operates in that liminal space between our outward actions and our innermost being. It's what the Franciscan tradition calls penance of the heart. So the question I invite us to sit with today is this: what if penance isn't primarily about what we do, but about who we're becoming? Think about the spiritual mentors who have most influenced your journey. Were they people defined by rigid external practices? Or were they those rare individuals who, like dolphins moving through water, found their path within grace rather than fighting against it? Those who earned your respect not through displays of spiritual discipline, but through how they embodied love and advanced something greater than themselves. Understanding penance in the Franciscan tradition. When we think of penance in the Franciscan tradition, we're really looking at a threefold reality, like a pyramid with interconnected levels. At the foundation, we find outward expression, the acts of service and self-denials that many associate with penance. The middle level involves spiritual reorientation, turning from sin towards love. And at the apex, we find complete interior renewal, a transformation of the heart. This insight is simple yet transformative. True penance begins not with a checklist of behaviors, but with interior conversion, like the mystics who found God not despite suffering, but through it. True spiritual transformation emerges not despite our struggles, but through them. I suspect every one of us has experienced moments of heart penance, perhaps without having the language for it. Those times when something shifted deep within us, and our outward reactions naturally followed suit, not out of obligation, but from a renewed heart. Consider the mother who's sitting at her kitchen table early one morning, the weight of yesterday's harsh words with her daughter feeling like a stone in her heart. Her journey of penance in that moment isn't about self-punishment, but about finding a path towards healing and connection. The harmony she seeks isn't about erasing her feelings, but weaving them into the bigger tapestry of love. The essence of Franciscan penance. If we look at Franciscan penance as a circular journey rather than a linear path, we can see how four elements come together. The first is interior conversion, that transformation of both mind and heart. This isn't just changing behaviors. It allows ourselves to be changed at the core of our being. Then second, divine alignment, conforming ourselves to God's will, not only by reluctant submission, but by loving participation in the divine life. And third, spiritual virtues, particularly growing in humility, which Saint Francis exemplified so beautifully in his life. And finally, fourth, compassionate action, extending to others the same mercy we've received, becoming instruments of God's peace in a concrete way. True penance creates harmony between our inner disposition and our outer actions. It's not about what we're giving up, but who we're becoming, the people we were meant to be. St. Francis's view on penance. Francis himself understood penance quite differently than many of his contemporaries. For Francis, penance wasn't punishment, but privilege, a loving response to divine mercy. Francis saw penance as beginning with divine initiative, our response to God's boundless love that always makes the first move towards us. He understood it as a lifelong journey rather than a one-time event, a continuous unfolding of conversion through our lives. For Francis, penance meant gospel living, following Christ's example in our daily actions, walking in the footsteps of Jesus with both humility and joy, and it culminated in becoming instruments of God's peace and goodness in a world that was desperately in need of both. If it's not of love, Francis would remind us, it's not from God. The straightforward phrase was revolutionary in its time when many preached based on fear and retribution. Francis understood true penance flows from love and leads to even greater love. The practical aspects of heart-centered penance. How might we practice this heart-centered penance in our daily lives? Let us suggest four spiritual practices that create space for interior transformation. Self-examination, regular honest reflection on our motivations and actions, not with harsh judgment, but with gentle clarity. Gratitude practice, cultivating awareness of God's gift in each moment, each breath, each heartbeat. Simplification, letting go of excess to focus on what truly matters, following Francis's example of holy poverty as freedom rather than deprivation. And mindful presence, living fully in each moment with spiritual awareness, what John Cassian and the desert tradition might have called watchfulness. These practices help us recognize and release what separates us from love. They're not about self-improvement, but about creating space for God's transforming presence. The challenges in practicing heart-centered penance. This path is not without its challenges. Like that liminal space of Holy Saturday, penance often places us in an uncertain territory. And the ego presents the first obstacle. Our natural resistance to surrender control can make true heart change difficult. Pride disguises itself in countless ways, often a spiritual achievement or comparative holiness. Finding the right balance between inner conversion and outward actions requires discernment. Neither alone is sufficient. Interior change without concrete expression remains abstract, while external practices without heart transformation become empty ritual. Let me read that sentence again as it's important. Neither alone is sufficient. Interior change without concrete expression remains abstract, while external practices without heart transformation become empty ritual. Maintaining spiritual consistency through changing circumstances and emotions demands perseverance and community support. We all need companions for this journey who will speak truth to us with love and help us see our blind spots. These challenges aren't failures, but opportunities for deeper growth. Each struggle invites us into greater authenticity, showing us where transformation is most needed. This will then deliver the fruits of Franciscan penance. And four fruits grow naturally as our hearts transform. The first is divine intimacy, a deeper connection with God that transcends words and concepts, a knowing and being knowing, and be known at the core of our being. A compassionate heart, increased empathy for others, seeing with God's eyes and loving with God's heart, especially those most different from ourselves. Joyful freedom, liberation from attachments that once bound us, experiencing the perfect joy that Francis spoke of, even amidst great difficulties. And finally, that peaceful spirit, the inner calm amid life's storms, not because circumstances have changed, but because we're anchored in something deeper. These fruits can't be manufactured, but grow organically through faithful practice. They're the natural outcome of a heart being transformed by love. The challenge of reconciliation. One of the most profound expressions of heart penance emerges in our willingness to reconcile with others, even and perhaps especially when they seem unwilling to meet us halfway. I remember sitting with a friend who carried the weight of a broken relationship for nearly a decade. "But Michael," she said to me, "I've reached out 3 times and each time I've been rejected. How many times must I try before I can simply move on?" Her question echoed the disciples asking Jesus how many times they should forgive. 7 times? And we know his response, 70 times 7. Reconciliation isn't about keeping score, it's about keeping our hearts open. When someone refuses to reconcile or make amends with us, we enter that liminal space I spoke of earlier, that threshold between what was and what could be, where we don't control the outcome. We may feel suspended between justice and mercy, between righteous anger and vulnerable love. And in that space, Franciscan heart penance invites us to a profound truth. We can release others from our expectations without releasing ourselves from the call to love. We can hold both our boundary and our blessing towards them simultaneously. Consider Francis himself, who sought to reconcile with his father after their public rupture. When his father refused to acknowledge his son's new path, Francis didn't wait for his father's approval to continue the journey. Yet neither did he carry bitterness. He blessed his father even as he walked away from him. The paradox of reconciliation in the Franciscan tradition is that while we always extend the invitation, we release attachment to see how it's received. Our heart's penance includes the willingness to hold open the possibility of a restored relationship without demanding it on our terms or timeline. This approach doesn't minimize harm done to us, of course. Rather, it acknowledges that carrying resentment, even justifiable resentment, binds us to past wounds. That freedom that comes through heart penance includes freedom from waiting for others to change before we experience peace. Some of us may be waiting for apologies that may never come. Others may be hoping for acknowledgement that seems perpetually withheld. The invitation of Franciscan penance isn't to pretend these things don't matter, but to discover that our healing doesn't depend on receiving them. When we reach out in reconciliation and face rejection, we participate in Christ's own experience of extended love that wasn't reciprocated. And in that sacred sharing, we find not defeat, but a deeper communion with divine love itself. So how might we integrate this understanding of penance, including the challenge of reconciliation, into our everyday lives? Here are a few suggestions. Begin with prayer. Start each day in grateful communion with the divine presence, acknowledging our dependence and openness. Practice presence. Attend fully to each person you meet, seeing the divine image in everyone, especially those easy to overlook. Serve with love. Find concrete ways to help others, letting compassionate action flow naturally from your transformed heart. offer reconciliation, take a step towards someone with whom you have tension or distance without attachments to their response. As John Duns Scotus reminds us, if it's not of love, it's not from God. Our outreach must be motivated by love, not by the desire to be right. The path of heart penance transforms ordinary moments into sacred encounters in the spiritual trace we leave behind. We can spread God's goodness like a fragrance that changes the atmosphere around us. And we can't talk about heart penance without talking about sorrow. Sorrow has a sacred role in all of this. St. Francis himself frequently wept as an authentic spiritual response, experienced what the tradition calls compunction, or a piercing of the heart that awakens deeper love. And those three distinct qualities of Franciscan holy sorrow that distinguish it from emotional, just pure emotional distress. It's relational rather than self-focused, grieving for how our actions have impacted others. It's transformative rather than paralyzing us, moving us towards a healing action. And it's permeated with hope, recognizing brokenness without being defined by it. The purpose of sorrow and penance of the heart is purification rather than punishment, that tender ache that comes when we truly see ourselves through God's eyes. And allowing ourselves to experience this holy sorrow softens our hearts and recovers our capacity for wonder, compassion, and authentic joy. So we're encouraged not to rush past sorrow or dismiss it as a weakness, but to welcome it as a trusted teacher and companion on the journey to greater wholeness. As we reach the contemplative stage of our spiritual journeys, many of us think about legacy. What will we leave behind? How has our heart been transformed? And how has that transformation affected others? The Franciscan approach to heart penance suggests that our greatest achievement may be in the ripples we never see, the lives touched by transformed hearts, the changes that began with our small acts of kindness and attention. Perhaps this coming week, we can think of ourselves in the process of heart transformation. The more we imbibe the love that God gives us each day, the more naturally we exhale that love into the world. All we need to do is to exhale that love, walk his path, swallow his desires for us, and we can become aware of this love in a different way. So we look closely at our hands, really look at them. These are the instruments of your heart's penance, the tools of God's transforming love, divine love wearing human skin. Though we forget this most days, caught up in our routines and responsibilities of life. What transformation might begin in your heart today? What old ways might you begin to release? What expressions of love might flow from your renewed heart? Thank you for your presence and your attention on this journey of the heart. We'll now open it up for questions.